Romans chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to start reading with verse 1. Does anybody want to just stand up and give God the praise tonight? Or anybody just want to just say something about what God's done for you? Anybody else? Anybody else? That's good. All righty. Anybody else for getting the word? Ain't a word. But I do thank the Lord for it, I really do. All right. Anybody else? Amen. Amen, Brother Bill. It's good tonight. Anybody else? If not, we're going to get in the Word of God tonight. And y'all pray for me tonight. And I pray for you. And I know the Lord's going to bless us. I have no doubt in that. But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who commandeth the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we, having this treasure in earthly vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifested in our body. For we which live are also delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, for the abundance of grace might through the thanksgiving of many renounce of the glory of Christ. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, but the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affection, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Our Father, we thank you for the reading of thy word tonight. And Lord, we just thank you for this book that you've given us, Father, where we can look at it. And Father, as we look at it and we read it, Father, yes, we can. It challenges us, Father, that we may be closer to Thee. And Father, not only us, but Father, when we are seeking You out, Father, for You to do something, Lord Jesus, You tell us over in the book of Malachi, it says we need to come to You and we need to ask God that You know. Do You know what we need? Do You know what we need? And yes, You do know. And I thank You, Lord, tonight that You know what we need. Thank You for the testimony for the people tonight. And God, I just want to thank You and praise You. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Here tonight, I want to look at a couple of things tonight. And one of them is knowing that He, in verse 14, knowing that He which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with You. For all things are for sake that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redounce the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And I just want to thank the Lord for that, them verses that we just read, and where the inward man is renewed every day. The outward man cannot be renewed every day because it's corrupt. It's corrupt with what is around them. It's corrupt within the society that we live in. But not only that, but we can have it, and we can have it. Well, the inward man is renewed day by day. Paul, in one of his writings there, and I forgot exactly which book it's in, but Paul says, crucify me daily. The reason Paul's saying that, God, I want You to crucify me daily where I can walk upright, where I can walk straight, where I can walk with my Lord and my Savior. Because if I'm not crucified daily, I'm going to fall back into what I was before, and persecuting the Christian and persecuting the church. But tonight, if I was going to title this message tonight, and we can look at back up in verse 3 and verse 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine forever. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. If I was going to title this message tonight, I would title it this way: 2020 vision. And we know that people are here, they don't wear glasses, they don't wear contacts. Yes, they had the vision to see. They can see all of God's handiwork. They can see everything that God has created. But yet, they are blinded to the gospel. 2020 vision and walking around blind. How many of them do you know that way? That they have perfect eyesight. But we know, and they know, that they need the Lord. And the only way that they can ever get away from the blindness that Satan puts upon them is that they got to come out of this sin. The sin that is in the life. Because what is, if an individual is blind, now, I'm sure Brother Stamps can testify to this fact. When he's blind, he said he probably can't see a thing. He may can see just maybe an image of him, but it's all dark. But what is it? Darkness had invaded into the people. And when darkness invades within the people are blind to the knowledge of the things of God. They're blinded, and their hearing is dull to us. They don't want to hear anything about the gospel. They don't want to see anything about the gospel. They can look at the flowers out here, and they say, well, I'm going to tell you one thing. I sure am glad that somebody come up and created this color. Giving man. They want to give man the glory. They want to give man the honor. They don't want to give God no glory and God no honor. But I know that man himself can take a little small tree or bush that's got flowers that when it blooms, it's got flowers on it. And I also know that they have come up a way to where they could take it, graft another one into it that's got a different color. And then they can graft another one that's got a different color. They can have one that's got three or four or five, six different colors. But what have they done? They have grafted something into what was already there. And thinking about the grafting, we've been grafted into the Lord Jesus Christ. We was grafted into Him when we accepted Him. We are not sinners no more. We are saved sinners, but we are not sinners like we was. Because we know that we can do better than we do. We know that there are things that we do that's not right. And if we know when we do it, it's not right, then what happens? What happens? You got a little small voice that comes on and just pulls that little string there, cuts the light on inside of us. And that light will shine over the darkness that's to come in. Because when sin enters into the body, when we sin against God, darkness has entered in. Darkness had entered in. And God does not like darkness. God does not like it at all. That's the one reason. And I struggled with this for a long time. I really did. When Jesus was there hanging on the cross, and when he was saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When he was asking the Father, he said, Father, I'm going to take their sin. I'm going to take the sin of the world and I'm going to place it on my shoulders because I can bear the weight. And even the Father knew exactly what his son was going to have to do that day. That he was going to have to bear the sins of the world. It was going to be placed on his very shoulders. It was going to be placed upon his body there. God knew that because God had given him the command to do all of these things. But even that, you will never see where anything that God will go back
and contradict his word. Because what did he say about darkness? Darkness represents sin. And I can remember my mother, my grandmother saying, well, you ain't got no business being out here at nighttime, past 10 o'clock at night, and that because you're in darkness. Nothing good's gonna happen in darkness. And it don't. Matter of fact, today, I believe the devil has put a cloud over the people here in the United, in the world here, because the people can look up and they can see the cloud. And we know that the cloud does not represent darkness. That represents light, because what color are they? They're not real dark. They're white, majority of them. And have you ever went and looked as far as after a rainstorm and everything, and then the sun comes out and it's still raining, then you'll see that rainbow. The prettiest rainbow you ever seen. It's always the same colors, though. The colors never change. He may add one more to it, but they never change. Why? Because, see, that's one of his covenant to us. That's a covenant that he had set forth for his people. He had brought that covenant. He gave the children of Israel there a covenant that God will always be there. And that covenant also is a representation of there will never be a flood like it was in the days of Noah. Why? Because God sent his son, Jesus Christ. But the devil is on the scene. Has the devil blinded your eyes? We need to think about that really. We need to think about, has the devil blinded our eyes to the point of some things that we know that we should do and we need to do for the Lord, but yet we've got them blinders on, like the old horse's got on his bridle. And when you put that horse in a cornfield and he's going down and plowing and up the grass and everything, in that cornfield, he has corn right here on one side and corn on this side. And the rows are probably got a middle row there about that big where the horse goes or where the mule goes to. They've got him. They got him harnessed and everything. Where they can, they got the harness there where they can guide him. Where the individual's back there has the plow, has the bottom plow in the ground. But yet, they on the front of that individual, on the front of that horse, on the front of the mule, it's got a bridle. Got blinders there. That's a little thing to stick out right here. And, you know, and I knew there's always called blinders. I didn't really know what it really meant or anything like that. But after I got saved, after I got in the Word of God, that's what it means, blinders. The blinders is to where we won't waver from one side to the other. That we'll keep the blinders on and we'll be headed for home. Got them blinders on. He will not go one way to to the left. He will not go to the right. Straight ahead. Straight ahead in that road. If that road kind of curves around, he's going to still stay in that road. Because of the blinders. But see, we don't have them type of blinders no more. The type of blinders that the people today are wearing, I believe, is the only thing that I can think of. And I know you've seen them where you see a man or even a lady where they would be laying down and going to take a nap, and they put that little thing over the eyes where the light will not bother them. The light will not shine upon them. Will not shine upon the eye to where they can look and see. They got them type of blinders on. But the thing about it is, they keep them on. They keep them on all the time. They don't want to see the true light. You know, in this church right here, I know we got these some windows on the side, but we could take and cut out all the lights, and we can probably, we may have to take some, maybe some paper or something, and put over the windows, and put something over the windows in the back door. And over the windows here. And then cut out all the lights. I wouldn't be able to see you. You wouldn't be able to see me. Why? Because this darkness had come upon us. But then, one individual could be sitting like that in a congregation and just giving God all the praise and giving God all the glory. And they just say, let my light so shine to the world. And they can pick up that little light, that little candle, and strike a match and put a little light there, and the light, the flame on that light, on the candle, is no bigger than that. But look at the illumination that little small light puts out. Somebody has to start it. Jesus Christ started that way back then. Him and God the Father had started it way back then. And it went on, kept on going. But then when darkness came upon him that day when he was on the cross, the Father says, Son, you know I can't look down on sin. Because it's darkness, and I can't look on darkness. So he turned his back on his own son. That's the only place you'll find in the Bible where it says that God turned his back on his son. Because he could not look upon sin. He could not look at his son and say, well, my son, he went on and done it. He went on and fulfilled what I had put him there for to do. He had fulfilled every bit of it. He had took the sin of the world, the sin of all mankind, the present, the past, the present, and the future to come. And then with him doing that, and him come going down on the cross. When they took the cross out of the ground, And then when they took it and laid it over, and when they took Jesus off of the cross, he didn't know where he was going. He didn't know where they was going to lay his body. He knew he didn't have no home to go to. He knew he didn't have no place to go and rest his head. He didn't have a nest like the fowls of the air had. He didn't have a place to where he could go and lay down and talk to people and be with his family. No. So then they come up and they said, now, where are we going to lay him? In John's tomb. I mean, it was barred. And when I first looked at that, I looked at that and I said, borrowed. What do you mean borrowed? When you borrow something, you just borrow it for a little while. But like a whole lot of people today, when they borrow something now, they'll borrow for 5 or 6 or 10, 15 years and never turn return it. Well, I mean, you know. But when he won't be that long. On the third day, he conquered the devil, death, and hell. He conquered it all. Who did he conquer that for? For me and you? Why did he conquer that? Because he loved you. Because he loved me. That's the reason he done it. That's the reason he was winning that bar tune there. And that's the reason he went back to heaven. And then his father said, I ain't found it where it says in the verses. But he didn't stay there. His father turned around and sent him back. He said, son, your job's not done. You need to go down there and you need to talk to your disciples. Because your disciples now, they don't know what to do. They don't have no leader. They don't know what to do. They didn't know what to do. I mean, Dalton Thomas, I mean, he just left them. I mean, he just left all the other disciples in the room there. And he just went about, oh, he had a pooch mouth and everything else. He was just a... He was just so upset. Because he didn't have nobody that would take him by the hand and lead him to the next place he needs to go. But see, if he'd have listened to Jesus, he would have said, I don't have the hand of Jesus that I can take and I can grasp and hold to. But with Jesus' help, I can go out there and be able to take a hold of someone else's hand and lead them to Jesus. We need to be about the Father's business. We need to go out here and do what we can to lead people to the Lord. We just need to tell them the truth. We don't need to... I know I've said in the past, we don't need to go out here and ram it down their throat. We don't need to ram it down their throat. But we can give them the gospel. And we can give them the gospel and what the Lord Jesus is saying. And where they're going to end up if they don't accept him. We can give them all the truth that they need. With love. I can remember right after I got saved, it was about 2 weeks later. I was at church Sunday morning for Sunday school preaching and Sunday night. And after Sunday morning service,
Went to the back door, and I shook the preacher's hand. And I shook his hand, and I asked him, I says, you know, we got visitation tomorrow night, which I just had started a week before. He said, yeah. I said, but I need your help in this. He said, well, see what I can do. Let me know what it is. I said, what I need for you to do is meet me at my house so we can go up next door to my mother's and my stepfather. My mother says she's saved, but I don't see nothing about my stepfather. And I've never in my life ever told him I loved him. Never. And at that time, I was 30 years old in May, and it was in by the end of August of that same year. Never had told him that I loved him. Never at all I told him to thank him for taking care of my mother. I didn't do that. I didn't. Why? I thought it was his obligation. You know, we think that people, it's somebody's obligation to do something, which in theory, in the way we look at things, it is. But they don't have to. They don't have to do that. He didn't have to do that. I mean, he come into a marriage where he ended up with having stood up one son. He had one son. And then my mother, she had four. Never had told him to thank him. Never did tell him that I loved him. So Brother Billy scares. He come out to the house that afternoon on a Monday night, yeah, on a Monday night, on visitation. And I asked him then, I says, would you go up to my stepfather's house or my mother's house next door? He said, yeah. I said, I need you to maybe talk to him, because I don't know if I can talk to him or not. Because I don't think he's saved. And I would love to know for sure that he's saved. And that night, we went up there. He was sitting in his recliner that he always sits in. And I knelt on my knees right in front of that recliner. And he said to me, he said, Donna, what's the matter? Because the tears was coming down my face. I didn't know what to say. The only thing I wanted to tell him is, I just want to tell you how much I love you. And how much I thank you for taking care of my mother and taking care of us, the children. And I just kept on, just thanking him and everything, telling him how much I love him and everything. And then I asked him the question. Because I had Brother Billy, my pastor there, to do this. And I said, no, if I mess up, if I say something wrong, I know Brother Billy will come in and he'll straighten things out. First thing I asked him, after what I told him and everything, I asked him. I said, if you was to die tonight, so nobody's guaranteed
within the next hour. The only thing that we're guaranteed is the breath that we're breathing now. 5 minutes from now, we're not guaranteed that. I said, but I want to ask you a question. If you was to die tonight, die in your sleep, do you know where you'd go? And he come up and he says, no, I really don't. But see, he didn't go, see, he didn't accept the Lord tonight. Because see, up until I got saved on Saturday, I'd always go to his house next door. And me and my uncle and him would always get together the chainsaws, the gas and everything, and we'd put them in the truck or put them on the trailer, and we'd go up the road and down some land or something else and cut wood all day. And then Sunday morning, I'd go up to his house next door, and we'd take the old log splitter that we built, and we'd split wood. We'd split wood. Then after we get through splitting some, we'd cut some up in the length that we needed. Split that. We'd go out there all day on Sunday. But that particular night, I told him, I said, well, Herschel, his name was Herschel. He was a building inspector for the city of Danville. And I said, I just need to let you know something else tonight. That, you know, I'll still go in the woods with y'all Saturday, and I'll cut wood with y'all. But Sunday, I won't be back up there on a Sunday. Not to, you know, split no wood and carrying it to the house. Because, see, that's God's day. See, God has given me 6 days to do what I need to do. And he said, now I want you to rest on the seventh day. And I said, I won't. You know something he never did? He never did say anything against me not coming. He never did argue with, well, you know, you know we ain't got enough wood. Last is all one. I said, I know it. I said, but you know what? I believe God can provide the wood. I know he can. I said, but if I go out there and if I come up on Sunday and if I split them long with you, something's going to happen. He said, what's going to happen? I said, I don't know. I said, I could lose my hand. It could get hung up in the log splitter. I said, I don't know. But see, he did lose his thumb. Because he just went down there by himself, you know, using it. See, I didn't want to hide what Jesus had done for me. I didn't want to hide that. Because, see, he was blind. He was blinded to the goodness of God. He was blinded to God's word. He was blinded to what I was trying to convey to him. And all of that.
I never did back talk him or anything like that. I never did say anything. Well, you know, you need to go to church. If you don't go to church, you're going to die and go to hell. If you don't get saved. See, he knew that. He knew that. Just like all the other sinners right here, all the other lost out here in the world, they know that. They know if they're saved or not. And they know where they're going. Unless they get saved, they know they're going to hell. I said, but we can ask them. And they can say, well, I really don't know. But they really do. They just don't want to say. 2020 vision. And people are still walking around blind. Walking around blind. Our Father, we ask, Lord, now, that God, that you'll take your word. And Father, that, Lord, it would lay on the individual's heart. Father, that they may be able to convey some of what we preach tonight to someone that they may know that's not in church. And Lord, and I really don't know the individuals or nothing like that. I don't even know if they're saved. I don't know if they're lost. Father, but you do. And Lord, and I believe if you lay it on the individual's hearts to go to them and to speak to them, Father, you will reveal it to someone. But Father, we thank you for your love, for your mercy, and for your grace, God. And Father, help us to always be able to show people that we do care for them. We do love them. We just want them to have a better life than what they have. We want them to have the life and the joy that we feel. And Lord, we just want to thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Hallelujah.